You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Cubs fans, and welcome to the Locked On Cubs podcast. I'm your host, Joe Kilgallen. You can follow me on Twitter. That's at Joe Kilgallen. Follow this podcast at Locked On Cubs. Got a fun one in store for you today, doing a little crossover action with Lucas Smith, the host of the Locked On Cardinals podcast. But before that, I got to tell you, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Now, today's episode, we will be previewing the Cubs-Cardinals series that starts today, 120 at Wrigley Field, 100% capacity for the first time since 2019. How about that? Right? That's going to be pretty exciting. It's going to be an absolute electric atmosphere at Wrigley Field. It was already sounding amazing when it had 60% capacity. And there were times when there was only 10,000 people there, which I believe was 25% capacity, in which Wrigley, I was going to say Wrigley was rocking, but I feel like you immediately sound like a 50-year-old when you use the term rocking. This place is rocking. I feel like my back hurts after saying a line like that. There's just, no offense, older listeners, there's certain phrases that just date you, and I feel like that one did. And I think you're going to enjoy the conversation with Lucas, because he's 20 years old, and I used a couple references that just completely went over his head being 20. And I'm in my mid-30s, so it's not like I'm ancient. These youngins, I'll tell you, they need to get some culture. But we break down the series. I ask him about Patrick Wisdom, who was drafted by the Cardinals and has been lighting it up for our Cubs. And then we give our predictions for the series. But first, Cubs fans, before we go into that, I would like to tell you, in honor of Wrigley being at full capacity, which although as at the time in which we recorded this podcast late Thursday night, the game was not sold out. So if you're listening to this Friday morning and thinking, you know what, I'm going to do a little Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I'm going to ditch out on work or school, there's seats available. You go to Cubs.com. There were still some pretty solid seats available. I was a little surprised to see that. So maybe people are going to play hooky last minute and fill up those stands. So I wanted to share one of my favorite Wrigley moments. I think that'd be a fun thing I could do, because the Cubs didn't play yesterday. They had a much needed off day after a successful road trip, but they were 3-4. That's not really successful, but in terms of the competition and it being a West Coast trip, we'll take it, right? Cubs fans, we'll take it. I wanted to share one of my favorite Wrigley moments, which is, again, like something I could do on off days just to share some good stuff with you guys. I want to tell you guys about, this was against the Cincinnati Reds in the year 2004. The 2004 Cubs will always be one of the more disappointing Cubs teams to me, just because of the way that season ended. They had a wild card in the bag. They had like a 3-game lead, I want to say, on the wild card. And for some reason, Dusty Baker kept saying, LaTroy Hawkins, you're my guy whenever the game is on the line, despite the fact that you have proven this entire season that you are terrified of moments like this. So I, Dusty Baker, am going to continue to do a really dumb thing. Anyway, so they blew it at the end of that year, following the 03 Cubs, which of course was, you know, the dreaded Bartman play, but a very fun, successful team that 03 season was. The 04 team had a great offense. The pitching was banged up. Kerry Wood was on the IL. It's weird because back then it was called the DL. Mark Pryor missed a bunch of time. Zambrano, really, that was his first year of truly stepping up. He was only 23 years old and was an all-star and was elite that year. And I'm trying to think who else we brought in. Ryan Dempster, that was his first season with the Cubs. Demp is a buddy of mine, a great dude. Glenn Rush, also a friend of mine, was on that team. I think Demp came in late, though. Or maybe he might not even pitch for us that season, because I know we got him after he was recovering from Tommy John surgery. So I might be talking a little out of turn right there. So forgive me on that one. But the big splash of that season was the Cubs trading for Nomar Garciaparra, who was like such a big name. And the Cubs, up until that point, were never the team to make the big splash deal at the deadline. So that's why that was such a, oh my God, we got Nomar. Everyone's screaming, we got Nomar. I remember people honking their horns, going nuts when they announced the trade, because it was one of those trades, I believe, just like the Nick Castellanos trade of 2019, in which the deadline was 3 p.m. and we hadn't heard anything. Sports radio was silent. You turned on ESPN, MLB Network, nothing. Okay, I guess the Cubs are just not making a move. Well, that's disappointing. And then at like 3:19, all of a sudden it's like, all right, we've got breaking news. Apparently the message did come in, or the deal came in under $2.59. So it does count. They're just working out some details before anything could be announced. But the Cubs have acquired Nomar Garciaparra from the Boston Red Sox. And everyone was just like, what? Are you kidding me? We got Nomar? And he was coming off a year in which he was kind of banged up at the beginning of the year. And Theo Epstein wisely, because the Red Sox won the World Series in 2004, decided he wanted to go with a better defensive shortstop because Nomar was not very good defensively. As a matter of fact, the Cubs re-signed him for 05. He ended up being injured pretty much all of that year. 06, he goes to the Dodgers. They make him a first baseman. He makes the All-Star team as a first baseman. I was like, oh, come on. That's just so Cub during that era of Cubs baseball, you know? But the game I want to really brag about, such an amazing game. Weird little side note, I picked up tickets from a friend of mine. And nice Northwest Side neighborhood, you know? I could say the name of the neighborhood, Portage Park, neighborhood I'm from. So I go to pick up the tickets from him, and I'm with my girlfriend, who's now my wife, and I'm trying to remember exactly. They were great seats. So we get the tickets, and he goes into his apartment. I'm starting to drive away, and then a cop car, whoop, 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 and I'm like, undercover cop car. And they go, what's that about? What'd you guys did you do there? What'd you exchange? What's happening? He said, you had the money? And I'm like, what? Yeah, he gave me Cubs tickets for the game tomorrow. Here, I showed them the tickets, and they're like, oh, okay. I'm like, what is going on, officer, if you don't mind me asking? He's like, well, one of these buildings over here, we've heard a lot of drug sales going down, and we're kind of monitoring the area. So I'm like, oh, you guys have one of those sound things? Which, think about it from their point of view. You're undercover, and you're hearing like, hey, you got them? Yeah, I got them, man. You got the money? It sounds like a drug deal, right? Anyway, lo and behold, the game is amazing. The Cubs, though, were down late. At one point, the score was, we had a lead. We had the lead like 5-4, give up a bunch of runs. They end up being up like 8-5. We scratch a run to make it. No, sorry. It was 8-4. We scratch out a run to make, like a sacrifice fly, made it 8-5. Todd Hollinsworth, who we had just signed in that offseason, he hits a 2-run shot, pinch hitting, to make it 8-7. We go to the bottom of the ninth. Sammy Sosa leads it off, hits a home run opposite field. I think it landed in the basket. We are going insane, standing up. Everyone's like, yeah, I just tied the game, chanting Sammy. Everyone just, very first pitch of Alusi's, cranks it to left. They go back to back to walk it off. And I remember when Alou made contact, we were already standing. I put my hands on my wife's shoulders and like used them to push myself up even further in the air. And I like screamed, Cubs win! Like, you know, as the ball was still in flight. I love a good, like when you know it's gone and you could just scream it out loud, game over, before the ball even lands in the stands. That was such a no-doubter from Alou. And that was one of my favorite Wrigley moments of all time. And, you know, I've got bigger ones, way bigger ones, because that was just a regular season game. I've got some playoff moments. I've got some, like, really crazy stuff. I've been to a no-hitter. But I figured that was a good one to lead off a segment I'll probably try to do every so often over the course of this season with you Cubs fans. All right, you're going to hear me talking with Lucas Smith from the Lockdown Cardinals podcast. I've been talking a lot about sports trade lately, and if you haven't heard about it, it's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. It's no wonder this company is blowing up. The site is really amazing, true. I really appreciate it. Some sites, you're like, this is a great site, but I don't like going to the site because they make it difficult. This one is fantastic. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. It's a fair and super exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. And they just added baseball to the platform, so check it out today. Making money with sports trade is simple. Player values will rise and fall based on two factors. One, their performance in each game compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher the player's value. You get it. And number two, good old supply and demand, baby. The more shares that are purchased in a player, the higher their value goes. To the moon. Get on that rocket ship. Come on, hold. Don't sell, hold. You can instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you would like. Now sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. I really think you'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in on the action at sportstrade.com. All right, what is up, everybody? I am here with the host of Locked On Cardinals, Lucas Smith, revisiting with him since the last time we did a little crossover action. Back in the May 21st through 23rd series, in which the Cubs went down to St. Louis. And, you know, if we could talk about that a little bit briefly, I made my prediction saying the Cubs would win 2 out of 3. I was correct, but I didn't pick the exact order. So we were both right in a sense that I think you said that the Cardinals would win the Saturday game. And then it came down to the rubber match on Sunday to see who had the ultimate bragging rights. And luckily the Cubs prevailed, so I wouldn't look like a complete idiot.
You use the word luckily, I use a different word, but we'll get into that. But no, it was definitely, you know, I feel like we used a phrase as big as a series could be in May, and it definitely proved to be, because I think that was about the time the Cubs were getting hot there, and they ended up using that series to kind of propel them into their, you know, little streak of winning that they have found. And, you know, hate to use the same phrasing twice, but this is about as big as a series as you're going to get in June at the same time. So just kind of flip-flop who's in what place in the standings.
Yeah, definitely. It's very interesting, because since that series, the two teams, like you kind of alluded to, have gone in completely different directions. The Cardinals are 6-10 since the Cubs beat them on May 23rd, and the Cubs are 11-5 during that same stretch. But the Cardinals still, again, they're only 3 games back in the division. The Cubs and Brewers are currently sitting up top tied, and the Brewers seem to have a kind of a cush schedule right now, which seems a little unfair to both us, our fan bases here, you know. But basically what I'm trying to ask you is what has happened to the Cardinals since that series?
They've had some injuries that have happened to them. Bader's been hurt. Paul DeJong, who's actually coming back Friday for the series, he'll be coming back. But the pitching has just kind of lost their way. Carlos Martinez has had 2 atrocious starts. He's given up 15 earned in 4 2/3 of an innings over his last 2 starts. John Gant had a really bad start mixed in there. And other than that, you just have guys that you just can't rely on as a starting rotation. Johan Oviedo hasn't been reliable. Daniel Ponce de Leon has struggled a little bit in the bullpen role. And they just haven't hit. The Cardinal offense, you know, it isn't a prolific offense when they're fully healthy and when they're fully right, but they're better than what they're playing right now. So it's just kind of been, I talked about this in my locker room earlier, I guess last night by the time this thing goes out, but about how it's kind of just been this perfect storm of injuries and guys just going on one of those cold stretches that you go through throughout a baseball season. It's been a real tough time watching these guys play for the last 2 weeks.
Well, at least Nolan Arenado has been looking great.
Yeah.
He's having a very nice season overall. And I had said, I'm trying to eat a little crow here myself, because at the beginning of the season, I said, let's see how great Nolan Arenado is away from Colorado. I kind of was running my mouth a little bit, and he's really showed me that I guess the idea that players who hit well in Colorado don't succeed in other places is kind of a myth that is now dying down, and players like Arenado and DJ LeMay, who have really been putting that to bed. So you got Nolan for you.
Yeah, Nolan and Tyler O'Neill. I'll tell you what, Tyler O'Neill has been electrifying at that left field spot. Hits 5th. I think he should be moved up to 4th or 3rd. That's neither here nor there. Team leader in home runs. He can do it all. We saw that on Wednesday's game. He had an infield hit, beat out an infield hit, hit 2 mammoth. And I mean, like Kyle Schwarber 2015 playoff type mammoth shots, and then made a dive and catch in left field. So he's been spectacular to watch as well. Meanwhile, you guys have somebody that the Cardinals used to have that's been kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, that's in my notes. I was going to ask you.
Yeah. Painful for me, but fun for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, you know, why don't you tell my listeners about Patrick Wisdom? Because so many Cubs fans and baseball fans in general, like, where has Patrick Wisdom been all this time? Where has he come from? Is this just the craziest fluke ever? This guy just being really hot just for, is he going to fade away? Cause you know, we've seen that in the past, some hitters come up, they tear it up for like 3 or 4 weeks and then they go back into nothingness. He was drafted by the Cardinals, I believe, in the 2nd round, or maybe one of the compensation picks the Cardinals get for being small market, which people listening don't realize. I just did the quote fingers, because that always has irked the rest of the baseball world, because the St. Louis Cardinals don't draw like a small market team. They don't spend, for the most part, like a small market team. They're an incredibly popular team in the country, and yet they get these picks that belong to the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Tampa Bay Rays of the world. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he was picked around the late 2nd round for you guys back in 2012.
2012, 52nd overall pick.
So what happened with him coming up your ranks? Is he a guy that people were kind of like, maybe this is a 4A player, a guy who tears it up in AAA a bit, but really doesn't have a home in the majors?
Yeah, he kind of came up at an awkward time where at the time he came up, his rookie season was in 2018, his only season with St. Louis. And at the time, you know, third baseman, and Matt Carpenter was kind of the third baseman there at the time. And he just was a guy that couldn't really find a home. I always liked Wisdom. I thought he had solid power, maybe not 8 home runs in 2 weeks power, but I always thought that he had solid power. I was always a fan of Wisdom. I was sad to see him go. Ended up getting traded to Texas, and he was there last year before the Cubs picked him up. But I wouldn't say he was ever a highly touted prospect by any stretch of the imagination. He was definitely up there, you know, 52nd overall pick, but it was never like, oh, here's the next star for St. Louis. It was like, okay, this guy could be a solid player. And I was, you know, I kept an eye on him as he's left. Granted, he's only played one other spot, and that being Texas. But he's just a guy that's just real solid. You know, even at his worst, I think he's a real serviceable third baseman. Right now he's playing out of his mind, and credit to him. But I think even at his worst, he's going to be real solid for the Cubs. If Chris Bryant is no longer a third baseman and he's just now a utility man that can play everywhere. But I think Wisdom can be really solid for Chicago, even when he does come back down to earth, if that ever happens.
Well, yeah, hopefully it doesn't, of course, but he's impressed me the most too with his glove. He's been making fantastic defensive plays at third base. And that I think is kind of given the Cubs the confidence of being like, well, we're going to keep Chris Bryant in the outfield even longer. I mean, Chris Bryant hasn't played third base since I feel like late April. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny that he's even listed on the All-Star ballot as a third baseman.
Really?
Yeah. He's barely been there. He's been at first base more. He's even played center field a few more times since he's played third, and his versatility has been fantastic because it's allowed the Cubs before Patrick Wisdom to have Matt Duffy in the lineup. Now, I mean, of course, every team deals with injuries. The Cubs fortunately have had this next man up sort of mentality where when Matt Duffy went down, and he was a game changer because the Cubs mm-hmm. were such a strikeout heavy team. And here's a guy that doesn't give away at bats, makes solid contact, hits to all fields. Patrick Wisdom fills up that spot. And then we've got Sergio Alcantara has come up over the last week or so, and he's killing the ball too to replace Nico Horner. And then David Bodie went down, and hopefully Eric Sogard gets hurt just so we don't have him in the lineup anymore. But yeah, the Cubs have been a little bit banged up too, and yet they're still playing strong baseball right now. And a lot of that has just been this bullpen. But thank you for letting the listeners know a little bit about Patrick Wisdom, because his swing passes the eye test. It's a really nice swing.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure a lot of Cardinals fans were hesitant to let him go.
Yeah. And it's just enter him in the long list of the long list of guys that have left St. Louis and found success elsewhere. You know, I get it. This is a 2 week stretch and his fate will be decided long-term, but definitely immediate success, just like Randy Arozarena. We're seeing it with Adolis Garcia over in Texas, Randall Grichuk in Toronto, Carson Kelly in Arizona. All these guys are former Cardinals. Grichuk wasn't drafted by him, but all these other guys were drafted by St. Louis and brought up with St. Louis. So it's just frustrating to see another guy find success elsewhere. And to add salt into the wound, he's doing it for the freaking Cubs. So it's frustrating. I'm happy for the guy, but it is frustrating as a Cardinal fan to see another one let go. It's what it seems like.
Today's episode is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to without the tobacco. Available in 9 flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. It's the only moist nicotine pouch on the market. All other nicotine pouches are dry, white pouches. Yuck. Nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded. So for you dippers out there, this is the one for you. I'm telling you, step up your game. Bring a little class to it. Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On Team listeners, that's you, a special offer right now. You could try a can for just $1. That's right, just $1. Go to www.fullyloadedchew.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. Just $1 and free shipping, and use the code LOCKEDON at checkout. What are you waiting for? Huh? Get that dipper snap going. You know that. You hear that? That cool little snap those dudes do with their wrist. So the next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew. FullyLoadedChew.com. Built Bar. Do you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus often limited time additional flavors? When you talk about... do that again. Built Bar. Do you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors? We're talking coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie. That's my favorite. Peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. Not caramel. It's caramel, everybody. I will win this war on this, of the caramel versus caramel. Just to throw that out there. It's an amazing product to get you ready for your day, everybody. Low in carbs, low in sugar, great flavor. So many nutrition bars these days, just, it's cardboard. You're eating cardboard, okay? But not Built Bar. You got 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, and we all got to watch out for sugar. Only 4 grams of sugar. You can't beat that. It's a delicious way to start your day to keep you going with the energy. So don't forget, everyone, go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's right. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
But I think that what the Cubs are doing right now, if I'm wrong here, my outside perception, you can correct me, but it feels like their starters aren't going super deep and their bullpen is having to be taxed a lot. And they've been outstanding. Kimbrel, Tapera, so on and so forth. Do you think that that model is sustainable, or do you guys need more from your starters?
Definitely need more from the starters. I don't think it's, I mean, the Kansas City Royals did it, but I don't know if it's as sustainable because, you know, when the Royals did it in 2015, they were coming off of a very good 2014 as well, where the Cubs are coming off a shortened, I mean, we were solid in 2020, obviously we won the division, but it was such a shortened year. And going into this season, you know, experts across Major League Baseball were saying a lot of teams are going to want starting pitching depth because going from a 60 game season back to the 162, people were going to, you know, forecast a lot of injuries, which seems to be happening around baseball.
Yep.
The Cubs are in a really interesting spot. I guess I'll use the word interesting. It's exciting too, because the bullpen has been great pretty much the whole season. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm worried about them being overtaxed because so many of our starters are dipping out after 4 innings. Sometimes 3 innings, 3 2/3. It's some pretty poor stat lines from our starters as of late.
Sure.
Kyle Hendricks has really turned the corner, and Davies has too. But overall, we'll add Burt, but then he blistered, so he's on the IL right now. But what I'm saying is that when some of these guys get taxed, I'm hoping that the other bullpen arms are ready to fill in for them. Justin Steele, he was lights out, and then he hurt his hamstring, which, by the way, I joked on Twitter today. What is with hamstring injuries all across baseball? Yeah. I don't understand it. I don't remember ever there being this many hamstring injuries in one season. There needs to be an investigation. I think there's some sort of conspiracy. I don't know what's happening, but it's very strange to me because the White Sox, Nick Madrigal, like tore his hamstring, like where he's going to need surgery.
Right.
And the Cubs have like 6 guys out with hamstring injuries. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if the boys need to get into some DDP yoga or something.
Pre-game yoga. Yeah.
Right. Something needs to change. So I'm hoping that Justin Steele will come back soon. And then, if, you know, there's enough where there's Robert Stock at AAA. He's throwing 101, and he's been mostly a reliever. They started him. He went 4 innings and was carrying that 100-mile-an-hour fastball throughout all 4 innings. So I don't know what their game plan is there. There's some interesting arms at AAA where, as some of the guys who are currently on the team start to get overtaxed, I could see them coming back up, like a Trevor Megill. Like I said, hopefully Justin Steele comes back off the IL. And a few other pieces like that should be coming back soon. So hopefully but they still need to trade for a starter ultimately if they want to win the division.
I think it might come down to, at least between the Cubs and Cardinals, you know, the Brewers have enough starters. They could give one of us their starters. That'd be great. But with the Cubs and Cardinals, I think it might come down to whichever team trades for a starter, it ends up finishing above the other in the division. Because I think both these teams are a starter away.
Really. I agree. You know what? This actually reminds me of a trade scenario that happened in the NL Central. Here's a little history for the fans. You were probably born this year this happened, or maybe you were
2000. I was born.
You're born in 2000. You might not have been born actually. I want to say this was 2000. No, 1998. It was 1998. So you were -2 and
parents got married that year.
There you go. So you were in the plans. You were in the works. You were a prospect in their minds. Not to make it weird for you, pal. The Cubs and Astros were battling for the division, and both teams right around the trade deadline were within a game of each other. The Cubs had a pretty solid rotation, but they needed one more arm. They had like Steve Traxel and Kerry Wood. Kerry Wood's rookie year, he was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. One rookie of the year. But they were one arm away, and the Astros were one arm away. The Cubs at the deadline, for some reason, traded a former first-round draft pick, John Garland, for Matt Karchner, who was a slightly above-average setup man for the White Sox. Garland, of course, was a part of the 2005 Sox rotation that won the World Series, so that really came back to bite us.
Yeah.
And the Astros that year, the Astros traded for Randy Johnson. So they got Randy Johnson, we got a seventh inning setup guy who ended up being terrible for us and gave up a first round pick for some reason. That's back when the Cubs had a guy named Ed Lynch as their GM who was awful. I wrote him a letter about how to fix the team. He sent me, oh, we'll look into it. Didn't do any of the moves I suggested. And that cost the franchise a few, another decade of infutility.
It probably cost them two or three World Series rings, if we're being honest.
Well, they should have listened to me. I told them, hey, Gary Gaetti was nice for a minute, but go get Robin Ventura. He ended up going to the Mets. The Mets went to the World Series the year 2000, the year before I said we should acquire him. So, yeah, there's a lot of mistakes. I'm over it, though. I swear I'm over it.
Oh,
I only
sure.
think about it once a month. Keeps me up
good.
At night occasionally.
That's good. That's a healthy way to get over it. The Cubs, the Cardinals do have their starters named for this upcoming series. I mentioned a little bit at the top. Johan Oviedo, John Gant, and Carlos Martinez. These are three wild cards because with Johan Oviedo, he hasn't gone more than five innings in his career. Granted, it's last year and this year, but hasn't gone more than five innings in his career. John Gant seems to walk every other batter he faces, seems to walk the planet, coming off an atrocious start. And like I mentioned, Martinez is coming off two brutal starts. This will, to be honest, the Cardinals might be lucky not to get swept. I'm not trying to be pessimist. I'm not trying to be whatever, but I'm a big proponent of starting pitching is important and starting pitching wins you games. And when this is cliche, when the Cardinals pitch well, they win. Like, and that might be obvious, but it's just true. Right. And the Cardinals, the three starters are throwing out there have not pitched well recently, just flat out, especially Friday's and Sunday's starter. Martinez just seems to be lost. So I'm both with the Cubs playing well and with the Cardinals having gone on the mound. I'm really not looking forward to the results of this series.
Yeah, I was looking into your rotation a little bit there before the podcast. Gant is one I kind of like us to beat up on a little bit because, like you were saying, he's kind of walking every other batter, and the Cubs have really shown a lot of patience lately at the dish. Jock Peterson has been really – I really like him leading off. I remember when he was first plugged into the leadoff spot thinking, I know Jock Peterson's overall stat line isn't anything that jumps off the back of the baseball card, but – since coming back from his little spell on the IL as well, he's been hitting the ball really well. So he got off to an atrocious start. I think when he went on the IL in early May, he had a terrible April. He was like hitting 143 in April, wasn't slugging at all, had one home run, wasn't driving in runs, it was bad baseball. And then he came back and he started getting base hits. The power really wasn't there, but it was a lot of base hits, singles and doubles, going the other way with the pitch. And they put him in the leadoff spot, and the power has shown up recently. He's really starting to hit the long ball again. He went deep off of Darvish on Wednesday afternoon, I should say. And what I like about him is he goes first to third fairly well, and he works the count. He does strike out a lot, which, again, at leadoff, I don't mind as well. People think I'm crazy for saying that, but at leadoff, there aren't runners on base. I think the high contact guys I like in the middle of my lineup. That way, when there's a runner at third with less than two outs, you hit the fly ball to bring them in, as opposed to having all those strikeout guys in the 4, 5, 6 range. That's just the way I've been viewing baseball lately. If you come out, if you strike out when no one's on base, I don't care. That doesn't bother me. It's when hitters strike out when there's a runner at third and nobody out, where just any kind of contact brings them in because the infield's playing back. That's those missed opportunities kill a team. So I could see us beating up on Gant. Martinez is a guy that I think we played well against him in the last series. I want to say, I can't remember exactly the line, but I feel like he's the one we lose to. I know you're saying he's been rough lately, but he's probably due to right the ship. I still have us winning 2 out of 3 though. So you have a sweep. Are you going to go on record and say you think the Cubs are going to sweep?
No, I don't know which one, but I just feel like the Cubs are going to, the Cardinals are going to take either Friday or Saturday. So today or tomorrow. I disagree with you. I think that Gant comes rebounds and gets a good start because he pitched bad his last time out, his first bad start in a while. I think Gant gets it done Saturday and they lose the front and the back end. I think it'll be a fun series no matter what. It'll be fun. And I always enjoy talking, second time, so I can say that now. I always enjoy having these crossovers and talking to you, Joe.
Dude, great talking to you too, man. It's always fun. And hopefully it's a competitive, fun series. Check out Locked On Today, everybody. Get all your sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.